I'm Rick Hatchke, and this is The Catered Quiz. Today's contestant from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the editor and co-founder of Milwaukee Record, Tyler Maas. Now, here is The Catered Quiz. All right, we are back with a brand new episode of The Catered Quiz, the episode you're listening to right now. And my guest today is Tyler Maas from Milwaukee Record. Tyler, thank you for being on the show.
It is my pleasure. I have listened to every single episode so far that's been released, and I love it. And it was one of those things where I was like waiting to be asked, and then it just reached a point where I was like, hey, I want to be on, please. So it's a joy to be in the first batch, the first year. I was in a season three. Oh, I should probably get him on.
No. I was waiting for the right moment because we're syncing this up as this month is the 10-year anniversary of Milwaukee Record. What's been the highlight of your tenure as a business owner?
Looking back, there's a lot of moments, but I think like as a whole, just I feel like I made a lot of friendships and a lot of like relationships. Like I met you actually through the website and a bunch of other friends indirectly, my girlfriend, and just the ability to be able to work within a city that you love and then also kind of just say, hey, I have this weird idea. I wonder if this would work. And there's really no opposition. It's a place where if you have any motivation and desire to add anything to it, there are very few, if any, roadblocks. So, yeah, it's been fun to just do random stuff. Writing is whatever. I either love it or hate it, depending on the moment you're asking me. But the events have been a major part of this. And just, I don't know. I really love just, like, the evolution of it. It's not fully baked yet. It's not done. I like that it's just an ever-changing, weird thing that I'll be doing until I die at this very desk in 5 years or whatever.
Anything that you're excited about for 2024 specifically?
We are getting our own brandy, a limited release brandy through Great Lakes,
excellent,
the Milwaukee distillery. And we're doing a day of brandy for it. We're playing Moesha on all their screens at the distillery. I'll be DJing a brandy and a 90s R&B playlist, and then we'll have a highlight of our brandy and a bunch of their drinks that they're going to make for us. So that's fun. We have our own coffee. We're doing a pop-up that I can't speak about right now with another bar. Yeah, just a lot of fun stuff. But as a whole, it's just we're maintaining. We're writing. We're doing the events we already have in motion, making people mad, making people happy. It's the full mix. I feel like if you haven't already had Matt's episode out, he will have articulated this a lot better, or he will be articulated a lot better in his episode. So,
well, now that we've gotten your inarticulate ramblings about Milwaukee Record out of the way.
Yeah, this will be a lot better when there's just one answer, where I'll still make it long as hell when I'm saying, Mort Krim, I don't know. Like, I'm still going to have a preamble and a... and an epilogue for everything, but still, I like that we're finally dialed into the episode itself.
Here we go. You've listened to the show, The Catered Quiz, but for anyone tuning in for the first time, here is how the show works. Tyler has provided me two topics, Detroiters and commercials from the 90s and early 2000s. I have created a catered quiz, and now there are going to be two rounds of six questions. Same level of points each round. We take a quick break. We come back. There are two final questions. The first is the doubler. So it's a chance to double your score. You pick which topic you'd like to use for the doubler. If you have 100 points, you get the doubler right. You get 200 points. If you have it wrong, then you're still at 100 points. Then whatever topic you don't choose for the doubler, you will use in the final question, which is called the required risk, where you must risk at least 1 point. There is no wagering zero on the catered quiz. You know this, Tyler.
Yeah. Lunch changing money. There's about to be
That's right.
If it goes well, there'll be some sour cream added to my burritos.
I was just about to mention that the points are worth pennies. So you are playing for potentially a lunch changing amount of money today. And beyond today, you are also playing to hopefully have one of the three highest scores this season, so you can enter into the tournament of high scores where at the end of the year we'll have one final episode where those three will face off and someone will be named the Catered Quiz Champion of 2024. Does that all make sense to you, Tyler?
Hell yeah.
So which topic would you like to be quizzed on first?
Well, I was immediately locked in with Detroiters when we were working this out, and then I went back and forth with like five different things. So I'm going to start with that one because I don't feel strong about either of my topics, but I think I'm a little bit more prepared for this. So yeah, Detroiters.
Excellent. This was one of the shows when we first started talking, it was like, oh, we both enjoyed this program. Do you have a favorite episode of Detroiters or even a favorite moment from the show?
It sort of is one of those things where it will change. Like, I'll watch it and be like, oh, actually, this is my favorite episode. But the ones I think about, like, as you asked me this, the Devereaux Wiggs one that features George Wallace. He's just amazing in everything. And there's just a lot of moments. The Farmer Zach's one is great, too. But I would say maybe Trevor, which I feel is probably your favorite one, too. I don't know. Connor O'Malley's in it. And just a lot of screaming, and I feel like that was the unofficial pilot for I Think You Should Leave, basically, just like yelling and a little bit more dirty than the other episodes and more offensive.
Well, it's interesting. I watched it when it first aired, but I hadn't watched it in a while. So watching it again now in a post I Think You Should Leave world, there's so many little moments that are like, oh, this kind of carries over mm-hmm. into the realm of I Think You Should Leave, whether it's skeletons or not wanting hair to be in the graves, the dot of urine on pants, like
oh, yeah.
all these
yeah,
things kind of are little like little moments that carry over on both shows.
And I do like Detroiters much more than I Think You Should Leave. I mean, I think that I Think You Should Leave is great in its own right. Like when it's on, it's among the funniest shit ever, but there are some misses, and it's one of those things where I love the vehicle itself, but a lot of the fans of said thing are kind of a little bit annoying to me, where it's just like, what if you like the better one? But it's also like when you like a band, you kind of, you want them to succeed and you want them to be appreciated, but also it's like sort of your thing, you know? And now that people are circling back and they're like, oh man, like Detroiters is actually really good. And I'm like, yeah, I wish you would have watched it the first time because it could still be on the air and we would have been spared a few years of people like yelling about complicated shirts at each other. But whatever.
Anytime you watch something where it's clear that the people making it are friends, it just always heightens it. So watching Detroiters, just like the genuine friendship, not just between Sam and Tim, but like when Connor O'Malley is on and you see Tim trying not to break as they are yelling, just those little moments I love.
Yeah, and some they leave yep. In the episode, like, that's your deodorant I gave you for Christmas, and they're like he's like throwing things in the pillowcase. Yeah, and I like that it's not like you have to watch every episode.
No.
Like you could just watch sporadically and you wouldn't miss anything, but also there is like an overarching plot, and the more you watch the more you're kind of rewarded for things where it's like, oh man, they reference that, oh, he's back. But like the whole thing, I mean, it's just ripe for like random people that were on SNL or their friends to just do one episode arcs, you know, just little appearances, and then they're gone forever. Like, hey, thanks a lot, Cecily Strong or Tim Meadows, or I hope I'm not blowing all the answers that you're gonna ask me. So
no.
Yeah, I'm sure it's gonna be like, what hand was the highlighter in?
You're not totally wrong. All right, before we keep talking and you start naming things that I am going to question you on, let's dive in to the quiz. So
let's do it.
Question number one for 10 points: what member of the Bad Boy Pistons is a client of Sam and Tim's?
Rick Mahorn.
That is correct.
Rick Mahorn in Dearborn. He's a great actor by the end of his episode, too.
He also gets the one episode treatment as if he was an SNL cast member.
Yeah. Yeah, he disappointedly walks into a theater and then he gets inspired.
So you're on the board for 10 points, but now the bonus 10-point question. So speaking of basketball players, in the episode Dream Cruise, what famous NBA player does Rhonda Devereaux say she was supposed to marry?
Shane Battier.
That's correct.
Ooh, Devereaux.
You nailed that.
I love that, where they go to her wig shop where it's all rodents. And she's like, I don't need this. I was supposed to marry Shane Battier.
To the 20-point question. In the first episode of the show, as Sam and Tim are in a brainstorming session, kind of goes off the rails, and what object does Tim throw that shatters the glass next to his office door?
Shatters like it spider webs or whatever?
Yeah.
Candlestick.
Yes, it's a candle holder. Yeah, yep.
They're yelling everything. Like, candlestick, candlestick.
So you are at 40 points. Question three is a this or that, a 50-50 shot here. When Sam and Tim meet Mort Krim, what Bob Seger song is playing as Mort Krim plays pool? Is it Night Moves or Hollywood Nights?
Hollywood Nights.
It is Hollywood Nights.
He's just running the table, and then I think I forget what he orders. It's some sort of a weird sandwich or something, like a Reuben or something. I don't know.
So you're doing very well. You're at 70 points. Now we are at the 40-point question where there are two answers here. Each one is worth 20 points. In the episode Devereaux Wigs, what song is Sam's favorite song, and who is the singer of that song?
It is a song called Ocean of Tears.
That's correct.
By Freddie Motown Brown.
Yes, Freddie Brown. So you got both of them right.
There's a really funny story about that song that George Wallace tells. I don't know if I'm just blowing every episode. I highly suggest you watch us if you have the means to, if you have the ability to, if you're listening to this. But he sits him down at his house in Lake Orion, which is not that far from Detroit, even though they both say how far it is. And then he's like, the funny thing about that song, I once thought, what if somebody cried so much it made an ocean of tears? And that was it.
That's it.
Like, it kind of ruined the song for me. Oh, that's it? I thought it was like, someone broke your heart. Nope, just an ocean of tears. Ocean of tears.
They're all hyped for him to tell that story.
Yeah, they go in be like, oh, we love this guy, he's our hero, and then they're just let down and like disillusioned by him. Anyway, I'm sorry. I warned you about rambling things after answers, didn't I?
So you're at 110 points, a very strong round. Let's see how you do with the 50-point question, which is the final question of this round. At Lois's funeral, she is propped up, holding a can of Faygo in one hand and a cigarette in the other hand. What type of Faygo is it?
Moon mist?
No, it's one I know you've had.
Is it Red Pop?
It's Rock and Rye.
Oh, Rock and Rye? Damn. It's also a weird thing where I feel like in season one it was all Faygo, and then they got the okay to do Verner's. And so that's a real like delineation. If you're watching and you see Faygo, it's season one. They probably just were like, hey, we're going to put you in our show. And they're like, oh, cool. Anything that distances us from ICP only is the only thing people know. And then, they got Verner's, which I think is owned or distributed by Coca-Cola. So they were, Viacom flexed their muscle there to get a little product placement.
So you missed the final question of the round, but you got everything else. So you are at 110 points in the initial round.
Ooh, that's a cheesy bean and rice burrito right there. If I leave now, I just walk away.
There's no exiting early. I just put out like this 15-minute episode of the show. It's like when Gallagher exited out of the WTF. There's some bad blood between Tyler and Rick. Did you listen to the catered quiz?
No, I leave because I'm riding to your house to get the $1.10. So.
All right, so you're at 110 points as we move on to the second topic.
Yes.
Which you pivoted from TGIF to the commercials of the 90s and early 2000s. Do you have a favorite commercial from this decade-ish period?
Not really. I think back to just the general period, and I thought it was a very weird time because, like, what they were advertising. like phone cards and like collect phone calls and fast food. I mean, it was the last era where people were really watching. They were forced to watch regular television. And it was the monoculture, the shared experience. There was no fast forwarding through ads. And so it was like the end of like the like, you know, captive audience, I guess. And so I don't really like ads necessarily, but I felt like it worked with this and it was just not another like show or whatever. So
yeah, no, I'm excited to dive
one
in.
One thing that I do think is pretty funny is the Bob We Had a Baby Eats a Boy thing. Like, would you accept a collect call from Bob We Had a Baby Eats a Boy? And it's a family that's at the hospital who's like, they're notifying that they had a baby and it's a boy. And they want to get around the phone companies. So that's just one I think of. I say it very ironically. I say "was up" a lot. Like, I nearly actually welcomed myself, but that was like, I don't want to be ruining any questions here. I don't know.
The one that whenever somebody else references it, I feel like, okay, I get them, is when someone's like, hey, it could happen. McWorld! Anytime there's a McWorld reference, I'm happy, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to find happiness these days.
The art direction, too, for a lot of these ads were so... there's some like Duracell ads that are just straight up scary looking with like
the
rubberized / mechanical people that were in this like black hole sun looking ass world. And anyway, I've eaten up enough time. Let's get to it.
You're at 110 points as we go to round two, the 10-point question. Orlando Jones wore a memorable shirt in a commercial for what beverage?
7-Up. Make 7-Up yours, right?
Yep. So you're at 120 points. Moving on to another clear beverage. Crystal Pepsi's ad campaign used this song in a series of advertisements when introducing the beverage. What song was it?
I hope it's just the name that I think it is. It's not one of those like Bob O'Reilly sort of things.
No.
Is it called Right Now?
It is Right Now.
Hey, don't tomorrow. Yep.
By Van Halen. Nice work. 130 points. Did you have Crystal Pepsi either during its initial run or some of the relaunches that have happened in the past?
I had the initial run, yeah, which I'm not sure exactly when. It's one of those things where like you, like you're sure it's 1993, but it was actually 91 or whatever. But around that era.
You're right. It was 1993 that the Right Now commercials started. It was at the Super Bowl that year.
And also not to be marching on Brad Gage's, like his whole territory, but SNL had a send-up, I guess, of that called like Gravy Clear or Crystal Gravy or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think they used that exact same song.
They did.
in the spot. So you're just seeing like the... I don't know. I won't go any further on what it resembled, but just, yeah, gravy going on stuff. Anyway.
You're at 130 points. Funny that you should mention SNL, because the next question involves a brief cast member of SNL.
Brooks Whelan?
For 20 points, what brand of chips did Chris Elliott appear in a series of commercials for in the mid-90s?
My mind doesn't want to say Doritos, but maybe you're doing some magic where you know that I think that's too obvious, and that's why you're going to say that. I'm going to say Fritos.
You had the O's right. It was Tostitos.
Oh, Tostitos. Okay, I only think of that once a year when two college football teams I don't care about play a game. Oh, Alabama and whatever other team. Cool.
So you missed question two. You're all right, though. You're still at 130 points. Let's move on. So for the 30-point question, a this or that. Which Volkswagen commercial featuring a memorable song came first? The one with Da 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 or the one with Pink Moon?
The Da 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 one was first.
That's correct. That was 97. Pink Moon was 99.
Nailed it.
You did?
Oh, I just remember, I think I was in like, 97, I guess I would have been in middle school. In 99, I was in high school. I was a different guy. I was a freshman.
Originally, before Da Da Da, I was thinking of the Mr. Roboto one with Tony Hale, but that was like also 99, so I couldn't figure out which one was first, and that seemed too like in the weeds to try to track down.
Yeah, and also Volkswagen, I mean the Bug especially, they were like the thing. They were everywhere. It just like exploded for some reason. I guess the Da 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 song helped too.
All right, so you have made it to the 40-point question. Two answers here, each one worth 20 points. What two spokespersons seemed like they were a couple in spots for Radio Shack in the 90s into the 2000s? They weren't, but it sure seemed like they were.
I know who this is. I'll go with the one I know for sure, actually. Terry Hatcher.
That's correct.
And Howie Long.
That is correct. Firestorm's Howie Long.
Yeah. Howie Long, are you going to host that show on Fox?
So I did look it up. Howie Long, he's still married to the woman that he met in the 80s. Terry Hatcher, though, no longer married to the person that she was married to during these spots. And I have to wonder if there was a little bit of jealousy that this guy always was seeing his wife with Howie Long in Radio Shack hats. It just eats away at you. All right, you are at 200 points as we move now to the final question of the round. In a PSA, what actress used a frying pan to smash an egg and then a kitchen to highlight the effects of heroin?
I'm so upset that I don't remember. Oh, wait, I do know her name. From Josie and the Pussycats and a bunch of other things, Rachel Lee Cook.
Yes, it was Rachel Lee Cook.
Okay, I was like, I know what she's in. If I say enough names of movies, would Rick say yes, that's who it is? But I remember that's not how this works. So so I thought on it for a little bit. Yeah, she was in, I cannot think of the one, but it's like a bet. Like, hey, I wonder if we can make one of the most attractive humans of all time hot by making her take off her glasses. And yeah, wearing her hair down.
And it features the Fatboy Slim song, Right About Now, because like the whole school does a dance to it, and she's all that.
Yeah, she's all that, yes. Okay.
So a very strong commercial round. You are at 250 points. We will take a quick break, and then we will come back for the final two questions. Hey, it's Rick Hatchke here with the Catered Quiz. Just taking a moment as we set up for the final two questions to let you know that the 10-year anniversary of Milwaukee Record is upon us. And I'm encouraging you to go to the website, shop for a t-shirt or a hoodie, wear it around the town, tell your friends about it. We should celebrate a great local website that doesn't have articles written by robots or algorithms. Let's go back for the final two questions with Tyler Moss. All right, we are back with Tyler Moss, who has 250 points as we approach the final two questions. Now, I explained it up top. I'll explain it again. There are two final questions here. The first is the doubler. So if Tyler gets the doubler right, he would move from 250 points to 500 points. If he gets it wrong, he's still at 250. And then whatever topic he doesn't choose for the doubler, he will then have to use for the required risk, where he must risk at least 1 point. It's his choice how much he wants to risk, but he can't wager zero. So Tyler, does that all make sense to you?
Yes, it does. It finally does. As I said off mic, I never listen to this part. It's just a bunch of numbers and like details. I'm just like, this doesn't affect me at all. I'll just learn how they did it at the end of the episode. But I get it finally. It took me being on to fully grasp it.
You're like Brendan Fraser in Blast from the Past when he finally understands how baseball works. All right, so which topic would you like to do for the doubler, Tyler?
Man, I'm so good at both. So hard to choose.
And so humble, too.
Here's where I blow it. I'm more excited to discuss Detroiters, so I'd say that one.
All right. So for the doubler, to move from 250 points to 500, in the second episode of the second and final season, what does Sheila put in the gas tank of the car that keeps stealing her spot?
Sardines or some sort of like a tinned fish or whatever.
Just stick with what you said up top. Yeah, it was sardines. Correct.
And then the hood explodes, and she's like, "Asshole." as I think only you know, probably, she was also Joe Pera's grandmother on season two, and I think she passed away last year
Just recently, I think. Yeah.
She was great in both shows. She was awesome in both shows, but she was extremely funny on Detroiters. Like, she could actually carry some scenes. I think they misused her in season one with the whole, mental, I'm old, so I'm very flighty and stupid or whatever. But then she just, I think she kind of settled into, the actual character she was. And she was, mean and sarcastic and whatever. And, begrudgingly there, kind of. So, season two is better than season one, but there are every episode's great.
So you are at 500 points. You're right on the threshold right now for the tournament of high scores, because right now the third place score is 501 points, second place is 510 points, and first place is 610. So it's your choice. How much would you like to wager for the final question?
Okay, so 501 is the third?
Currently.
I want to add a little padding here. So I'll say I'm out of the top three anyway at this point, right?
You're out of the top three if, yes. So you need at least 2 points.
And then what's the number one right now? 600-something? I'm sorry.
610 is the top score right now.
Okay, let's wager 111 points then.
To put you at 611 or to possibly bump you down to 389.
I mean, if I miss this one, I'm out anyway. So
that's true.
I should have just said I'll go to double it, and then I'll be insurmountable, and I'll get $10 from you.
All right, you ready for 111? You good with that amount?
Yeah.
Okay. We all remember the Noid, but what was the name of the short-lived puppet mascot that Domino's introduced in 2000. It was made by the Jim Henson Company, so that might even make this a Muppet. But it wasn't the Noid. It was a Noid-esque character that was short-lived that they introduced in 2000.
A puppet character.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Bob Weada Baby Eats a Boy? I don't know who it is.
It was a character named Bad Andy.
Okay, I never would have gotten that.
It was Bad Andy Good Pizza. It was like three or four ads and did not catch on. But it was right in that mix where I remember it distinctly because I wanted to write like an Aliens versus Predator about Noid versus Bad Andy.
The Noid also had a weird situation where like person... Like, I think they either killed themselves or someone else because the Noid inspired them to do it or something like that.
Yeah, they had the last name Noid, and then they held some employees hostage. Yeah.
Yeah, very, on that note, thanks for having me on.
So, Tyler, you did not get the final question. A very, very strong performance, but ultimately you are going to be leaving with $3.89 today.
How are you going to get this to me? I got PayPal, got Venmo. Do it as a gift if you do it on PayPal, otherwise they take out fees.
Friends and family.
Yeah, next time, I don't know, just hit me up. We'll figure it out off mic.
So, Tyler, before we close out the show, anything you want to share as we wrap up this edition of the Catered Quiz?
I would say watch Detroiters if you haven't yet. If you haven't in a while, watch it again. I think you'll enjoy it. And who knows, maybe there'll be a third season that will be much worse than the first two, uh, like like always happens whenever a show gets brought back. And beyond that, you can support us at MilwaukeeRecord.com. Just go there and read our stuff or buy our dumb shirts or like attend our events. Or if you're a listener from elsewhere, just I would support local media if you're able to, independent media, because if you haven't noticed, everything is being bought and sold off for parts. Newsrooms that actually do real stuff that's not the bullshit that we do at Milwaukee Record, they're being shut down and, like, you know, hundreds of layoffs. So it's important to support any journalism. Well, not any. There's a lot of horrible stuff out there that's further dividing and worsening the world. But but any anything that you enjoy, if you don't want to see what happened to Pitchfork and Vice and the LA Times and a million other things happen to the thing you love, then you have to read it and support it and let people know about it and just do your part, because without readers, we're kind of just writing to nobody.
Tyler, that was a beautiful speech. It actually was a great call to support independent media that inadvertently had you suggesting that people seek out anti-vaxxers.
Yeah, that's not I realized as I was saying it, I was like, no, support
climate change deniers.
No, I'm saying, yeah, just the blog you like, the band you like, the restaurant you enjoy. Like, rather than eulogizing it after the fact, you can actually get out there and extend its existence in the hellish nightmare that is life.
Well, you heard it here first. The preview of what's to come, the pivot that's coming from Milwaukee Record.
Yeah, find us on Patreon. A lot of takes there. Just kidding.
Thank you to Tyler for joining the Catered Quiz and for coming so close to being part of the current list of high scores. The high scores do remain untouched, with Mitch DeSantis in first with 610 points, Elise Bartel in second with 510, and in third, Joe Pickett with 501. I've been your host, Rick Kanchke. You've been the listener, and this has been the latest episode of the Catered Quiz.